Hi, we're continuing to look at on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we've come to see that the kingdom of God is the government of God, and that outworks his will. And we need to establish that in heaven, engage with God intimately, and then bring that into the earth. And our whole mandate is to see heaven and earth come back into alignment and into harmony and to wholeness as it was always intended to be. So our desire is to help facilitate the children of God as the Joshua generation to function in their governmental positions as sons of God and establish on earth as it is in heaven. To function on earth as it is in heaven, we need our identity as sons to come from the Father. We need a cardiogenosis face to face, heart to heart, knowing the desires of the Father's heart, by engaging him directly in the realms of heaven, within the garden and in our own heart and our spirit. So we have this intimate relationship, knowing the heart of the Father, so we can reflect the Father's heart on earth as we've experienced it in those spiritual realms. So to function on earth, we need a deconstruction of our past understanding of particularly what church is and how it functions if we're going to establish things on earth which come from a different heavenly blueprint. There are so many assumptions that will have to be challenged and many sacred cows that will need slaying if we're going to enter into the reality of the truth of this. And I do believe that God's desire is that we would come into a deeper knowledge of what his heart is for us as his people, so that we would be free from the past and free to reflect his heart in the future. So through what vehicle will the government of heaven be reflected into the earth? The ecclesia. It's not the man-made institution known as church, but something Jesus promised to build. What does an ecclesia look like? The heavenly blueprint assigned to it. And this is the key. We're not to develop this from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil in our own independence and come up with institutional systems as we have done. We need heavenly blueprints to show us, using living stones, what we are to build and how we're to build it. We all need mandates and blueprints to clarify what the Father's doing. They will help us know the what, the how, the where, the when of God's will in heaven so we can establish it on the earth, to enable us to use our mandated governmental positions practically, knowing God's heart, to know the why. It's so important that we know why we're doing what we're doing in alignment with the mind of Christ, with the heart of God. Then we'll be motivated and empowered to outwork that rather than obligated and dutiful. We will be inspired. Ephesians 2:20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Now, this is talking about the heavenly governmental foundation of what we build on earth. It doesn't mean that Jesus isn't the foundation, the rock that we build on, that the church is built on, but it does need to have heavenly foundations that are at work through people. And it is the apostolic, prophetic, or the legislative and oracles on earth, which have agreed with the royal priesthood in heaven, that can bring heaven and earth into alignment that we're looking to see. Then in verse 21 says, in whom the whole building being fitted together. Well, who's fitting the building together? That's the question to ask. Who's fitting it? Well, if Jesus's building is ecclesia, then surely he's fitting it together, and therefore it is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. So there's a sense where we work together in this. We are cooperating as we are transformed, changed, renewed, mature, and grow in our relationship with God. Then the reality of who we are will begin to mature and develop. So we need to go beyond the immature, man-made institutional ways that we have established or made church or ecclesia, and come into something which is coming directly out of our relationship with God, and allow God to be God, but we have our part to play. Verse 22, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So there is a spiritual component of this, which is a heavenly component, but also an on earth spiritual component, in which we are being built together. Well, who's doing the building? Jesus, who will build his ecclesia into a dwelling, where a place where he can dwell, he can abide, he can remain, and his presence will be demonstrated in reality. So this is a process that we're all called to participate in. God has his part, but we have our part, and we need to cooperate together in oneness, one spirit with him, to outwork this, to establish the truth of the reality of God's dwelling on earth, being us individually and corporately of this new wineskin that reflects a heavenly perspective rather than an earthly knowledge of the good and evil, the DIY tree perspective. In the Mirror Bible, it says this, Ephesians 2:22, in him you are co-constructed together as God's permanent spiritual residence. You are God's address. So if people want to find God, they should be able to find him by engaging with us, who as the light and the testimony can unveil and reveal that God is already at work in them, looking to bring them into relationship with him. We are heaven on earth as ambassadors. We need blueprints to build embassies of heaven. So we're an ambassador of heaven. Therefore, we need to have an embassy to dwell on earth as it is in heaven. So what is a mandate? Let's recap on this. A noun and a verb, an official order or commission to do something, an authoritative command, especially a formal order given by God, the authority to carry out a policy as given by God. A mandate to establish a new order, ecclesia, or an embassy. And this is what we're really looking at. We need places on earth. Whatever you want to call them, and their main many names, we need to see something established on earth that represents heaven. A mandate needs a blueprint, which is the architect's drawings or plan of action to enable that mandate to be put into action and outworked. So we need a clear mandate and a blueprint to establish an ecclesia. Don't try and establish an ecclesia unless you've got a clear mandate and a blueprint of what it is that you're establishing. But seek God for it if you don't have one. We need people to be proactive about this. We need to see storehouses established. We need to see these things on earth. Therefore, seek God. Ask him for one. Go and engage the Ark of the Presence of God and ask him to give you or to join you to a mandate and a blueprint. Heavenly blueprint is God's architect's plan to guide what shape to build. Each blueprint carries with it and expresses the heart of the vision and the values and the purpose of the mandate. It becomes our motivation and plumb line. Habakkuk 2:2, then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, and the one who reads it may run, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal. It will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. There's our timing and there's God's timing. Let's make sure we're aligned with God's timing and not our own. Patience is vital. Do not try and get ahead of God's timing, but also don't lag behind either. Be in step. And we need to record the vision. We need to inscribe it. We need to make it plain so people can understand it and resonate with it and come into agreement with it and begin to come together as those living stones that God will begin to build with. So the blueprints for a project, a ministry, ecclesia, embassy of heaven, apostolic resource center, hub, will have mountains, which are governmental spheres of authority attached to them. And in reality, whether you call yourself a project or a ministry, it is an ecclesia. It is going to have people who are gathering together to outwork that. God never wants us to do things independently, in isolation, but as family, together. So let's look to embrace that and find the place where we are a living stone of. So these things reveal specific areas of authority or mandates that the blueprint has that gives direction and boundaries. We do not want to step outside of the jurisdiction that we have been given, and we want to follow the direction that gives us insight and wisdom into what we're going to do. And each blueprint will have spheres of authority, and they'll all be different, but we need to understand what they are so we operate in authority and we don't step outside of areas of authority. So what do we do with a mandate? Carry it in our heart to shape our desires and motivations and give us authorized authority. If you don't carry it in your heart and it's just an external thing, it will not empower you. Engage God for a heavenly perspective for outworking that into the earth. Make sure you don't try and do something in your own strength, in your own understanding, but coming from a heavenly perspective. Be seated in our positions on a throne and use them to rule and to establish government in heaven for that government to be outworked on the earth. Use the mandated authority to seek for a blueprint or a strategy that clarifies its outworking. See, having a mandate only authorizes you to do something. It doesn't show you exactly how to do it or what to do with it. We need clarity if we're going to outwork these things. We can use it to frame our day by administrating it from our mountain throne individually and corporately to begin order and government. That's what kingdom is. Use it to inform our creative decrees and declarations that begin to bring things into being by speaking it into the spiritual realm and then seeing that manifest on earth in the physical realm. So what do we do with the blueprint? Carry it in our heart to shape our desires and motivations. The mandate gives you the what, but the blueprint will show you how. And so we have why God wants to do it, the what it is, and then the how we're going to do it. Seek a strategy to develop it. Establish foundational government around it. Let God build using the plan to guide us and motivate us. Use it to reveal our sphere of jurisdiction. Give ongoing guidance, direction, boundaries as a plumb line. Use a blueprint as our plan for directing strategy. Use it to draw others who resonate and become living stones to participate in it. This is a living thing. It's a living, evolving, and our understanding of it will probably evolve over time. Don't get fixed and rigid, but be flexible in its seasonal outworking as things perhaps will change over times and seasons. A blueprint must be outworked relationally. If it is to become a new wineskin, it cannot be established dictatorially. We must move away from the mediatorial, hierarchical, governmental structures of the old systems and embrace the foundational of the new. Relationship involves good communication, openness, honesty, and a process or journey that we're on together. Visionaries can try to accelerate the process in a non-relational way. People who carry a prophetic heart, who are visionaries, who are legislative, can sometimes force the issue so it becomes less relational than it needs to be. Relationship is the foundation to the kingdom. It must be a relational thing if it's going to be a reflection of heaven that God can dwell and inhabit. He will not dwell and inhabit something which is not relational. So all of the teaching about government that we've done, about governmental sonship, all of that teaching is in preparation to administer and manifest blueprints and mandates. If we're not outworking a mandate, then what are we actually doing? This teaching is not theoretical to give you more information. It's practical to give you insight into the principles that you need to establish things on earth. The heavenly aspects are one half of the equation. Just as we need to do things in heaven to be governmental, we need to do things on earth as well. Just because you get a blueprint and a mandate in heaven does not mean it will automatically happen on the earth. You are the key to it manifesting on earth with others in relationship to see it that outworked. So therefore you need to administer it relationally, which means there must be others involved, and you need to be governmental to manifest the kingdom. Do it together. This is why we need benches of three and benches of seven. To manifest something, a verb, to show something clearly through signs or actions. When something manifests, it becomes clear and obvious. We need to see something come out of the planning stage into something which can be realized and seen and engaged with and experienced and then can begin to grow and to develop. Therefore, it needs to be clear and obvious to everyone with no assumptions. Don't make any assumptions that people understand the same thing that you do. Communicate, talk, fellowship, share, know each other's hearts. Clarity with patience and process. It takes patience to establish relationship, openness and honesty, trust. And that's a process, a journey that we all need to go on together to come to a place where God can really fit us together as living stones with strong relational bonds of love. To administer, a verb, someone who administers something such as a country, the law, or a test, they take responsibility for organizing and supervising it. Those receiving the mandate are responsible for the organizing and supervising of its outworking. There needs to be a foundational supporting structure of government which is empowering if this is going to be fulfilled. This is not to control in a negative way, but to empower and release and encourage and support. That's known as ruling. Ruling, having dominion, operating governmentally. We rule from our heavenly thrones of authority. We have our mountains where we use our mantles, robes, scepters, orbs, swords, etc. But what about on earth? How do we rule there? How is the government that's in heaven going to be up on earth? It is a reflection, not a copy. Therefore, it is ruling relationally in love by empowering and encouraging others, supporting and elevating from below, not lording it over from above. All leadership needs to be servant-hearted. Dominion is not domination. We need to empower. It's always to empower and elevate others from the foundation that you provide. So what does kingdom living look like in the context of the Joshua generation, ecclesia, cities of refuge, embassy, whatever you want to call them? What does it look like? Well, it looks like what the people look like in relation to the blueprint. And what would it look like to live in the kingdom on earth, not just as a citizen, but as a king or an ambassador or an administrator? See, God does not want us just to be citizens, but to be outworking our citizenship in a governmental, responsible way. We're all responsible when we're part of something. So what if the DIY systems of the world, which are man's best or worst efforts to outwork the dominion mandate, collapse and fall? What will happen? Are we going to be therefore running around like headless chickens, fearful that, oh no, all the structures are all gone? What are we going to do now? Or are we going to be ready? Are we going to be prepared? How would we do it? Well, let's get ready to start doing it now, so we will be demonstrations to others when these things are shaken and when they do come up short. What would God's kingdom look like? Well, it will look like heaven on earth, but through us as his sons, as his children. Isaiah 2:2. The mountain of the house of the Lord is raised up in a position of authority in the heavenly realms. That is the key. We're in a position of being in authority, of operating, so we can be seen in that authority. And that authority is to bless. That authority comes in love. We will need to take our place as sons and kings, understand our authority and our responsibility, so we can function from our identity. When looking at establishing a kingdom on earth, the cities of refuge, embassies of heaven, Joshua generation, we are faced with the question, how? And that is what we have to use the mandate and the blueprint to establish. A heavenly strategy of how we're going to do this with this group of people, rather than any other group of people, in this place, rather than any other place, as God puts us together as living stones, what is it going to look like? Why and what are keys, but how is just as important. What is the heavenly strategy for earthly manifestation? Joshua had a mandate directly from God. He had authority. He took over from Moses. He received a mantle. But with an estimated 2 million people, he had challenges. We may have challenges if we got 10 people, because people are people. It requires a lot to be able to come together in unity of one heart and one mind and purpose. In order to operate in a kingdom way, we need to see and choose that reality, a different reality than what we've experienced in the past. Joshua had a blueprint to establish a nation in the promised land. He had to day to day live a lifestyle of living and ruling a nation in a new way than Moses had done, in a new relational way of empowering people to engage with God as well. So a priesthood and a tabernacle, with all the religious requirements, they were all things that he had to administer. Now, we are the priesthood and the tabernacle. We are responsible for outworking this in our daily lives, individually as well as corporately. He had an army to equip, train, and feed. We have a function to fulfill, therefore we will need equipping and training and a feeding, maybe not physically, but definitely spiritually. And eventually, if the systems of the world do collapse, maybe we need to feed people physically as well. There's a judicial system, public order, civils, criminal and civil actions, justice to administer. He was operating a nation. If the civil government fails, what will we need to do as the kingdom of God to demonstrate that we live under a better system? See, God was their king. They didn't need another king. They didn't need to set up like the rest of the world. And we need to go back to God being our king. This is not a democracy. This is a theocracy. God is king. All we need to do is be in relationship with him to outwork and cooperate with him to fulfill his will, his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. There are families, there are children to educate, there are the elderly to care for. All these things are very practical and all need to be thought about. It's not just we can just assume, oh, it'll all be sorted out. We need to practically look at how we're going to do these things. There's business, there's commerce, there's traders, there's artists, there's herdsmen. You know, he had all sorts of people involved. So do we. Millions of people and animals making a mess. Latrines. You know, this is the practical things as well as spiritual things. Administrators and officials, tribal leaders, decisions to make, politics to navigate. I mean, there were 12 tribes, you know, and they all had different perspectives. They all had different areas. They all had history. They'd all made messes. It's like people come with their baggage and we have to administrate that baggage to help them come into the freedom of their sonship so they can fulfill their destiny, not hindered by their pasts. People come with stuff. Let's make sure we have what it takes to be able to help them deal with that to move forward. So all those things were part of his blueprint. All the authority needed was included in his mandate. He had to keep God in the center of everything or he would not succeed. This is the key. Our relationship with God and each other is the key. Relationship and intimacy with God's heart is the foundation to outwork everything, individually and corporately. Joshua 1:6, be strong and courageous. This was not going to be easy. Establishing an embassy of heaven on earth, a new order ecclesia, is not going to be easy. So we're going to need to be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to follow the blueprint. Basically, this is what this was saying. So sometimes we're going to need to be very courageous. That means taking bold decisions, not being fearful or limited by stepping out in faith. Joshua 1:8, keep this book of the law. Now, we're not talking about the physical book because he now writes on the tablets of our heart. Always on your lips, meditate day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We have a blueprint. We have a mandate. Individually, we have a destiny, a scroll that we can follow and outwork. Let's not stray from who we are and who God has called us to be and what he's called us to do. Then we will be prosperous. We will be successful. We will succeed. We will be blessed. So there were principles for success. And I think it's the principles that we're looking at. We're not looking at formulas. We're not looking at creating franchises of saying, this is how you do it, copy us. We're looking at outworking principles for success. Be strong and courageous. Three times. That's a good principle. Therefore, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Be strong. And it will take courage to challenge the old mindsets, to establish things anew. And then when you've got new things, to continually be open to develop into newer things, not becoming religious, denominational, institutional structures. Be careful to do everything in accordance with the law. Now, we're not talking about the law. We're talking about the principles of God. You could say the 12 laws of Jerusalem, the 12 laws of Zion, the things that are kingdom principles that we can outwork. Be careful. Do not turn from it to the right or left. So don't get off track and get distracted going off doing our own thing. Let's keep on track, walking it out with God. He's walking this with us. Let's not walk away from him to do our own thing. Meditate day and night. Focus on this. Have this as a place where we come into a state of rest because this is so part of us that it's something we're focused on, thinking about, is part of our life. Every blueprint will address something God wants to bring under our dominion. We need to comprehend the practical nature of manifesting spiritual government into earthly government. But sometimes life gets in the way. We need to be careful that we don't get distracted, but also we don't focus so much on doing something to establish an ecclesia that we actually fail to outwork the same principles in our own life, in our own family, in our own situations. It's got to be genuine and real. This is a lifestyle that encompasses everything. It's not compartmentalized into, well, this is home life, this is church life. No. With maintaining focus is not always easy. God told Joshua 3 times to be courageous, which means it required perseverance in the face of opposition. He had to know his destiny, his identity and authority, and maintain relationship with God, or he would not have succeeded. Distractions. Yeah, family, work, children, pets, shopping, holidays. These can all be seen as distractions, but actually we need to outwork life in all these things. Not see them as, well, they're the things that I'm going to do, I have to do, and because I want to do these other things. If we're not able to outwork family, work, children, all of these things, life, and demonstrate the kingdom in our life, well, how are together we're going to demonstrate a different sort of kingdom to the world? If we're living like everyone else, running around like headless chickens, trying to find our own provision, our own protection, our own direction, doing things in our own strength, we will be weary and heavy laden, and we will never find rest. When we're outworking our life in a relationship with God in rest, we will find these issues will be part of the kingdom being established in us and through us and around us. There will be people issues, complaints, criticisms, obligations, expectations that people put on you. Don't succumb to other people's expectations or situations. Allow God to direct, give you mandates, and give you clarity about what he wants you to do, not necessarily what people expect you to do or you feel obliged to do. The key is to prioritize by seeking first the kingdom and righteousness. Do things in love and do things as outworking first priority God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is within us, and God wants to express his kingdom through us and around us. There will be opposition whenever God does something new. It's inevitably challenges what already exists, and that can create potential conflict with the old. Don't get into conflict with the old. They want to be in conflict with you. That's their choice. Just maintain what you are called to do and bless them and forgive them, and don't get caught up into the political things that go on. Be aware of the leaven of Herod and the Pharisees. Do not get into the political and religious spirit. We must persevere in the face of opposition and not be intimidated by numbers. Remember, 10 spies to 2. Joshua and Caleb were 2 again, with 10 against them, and yet they did not give up, and they were the ones that led the next generation into the promised land as the Joshua generation. So we must see ourselves doing, living, and being part of the blueprint. This is not separate from us. This is who we are. We must carry it in our heart, nurture it in our soul, be fired up in our spirit by it. Being governmental will require legislating, assigning, and ministering every day. It's not something you can just do once a week. This is not a Sunday thing. This is a lifestyle of living this out. Our paradigms, our worldviews must be that this is normal. Government is normal, and it's not just for some people, it's for all of us. We're all responsible for establishing the kingdom through our lives. We get to participate, not just to observe. Therefore, we need to practically administer things. We have to establish in heaven and outwork that to manifest on earth. We need to operate in dual realms and be proficient and function in both realms to bring heaven and earth together and converge that in us. Developing blueprints and earthing them out is really, really important. And we looked at the spiritual development by engaging the pillars of wisdom and engaging with the 7 spirits of God and other spiritual dynamics, but there are practical dynamics as well. What practical steps do we need to take? Make an outline in a written blueprint. Give yourself plans of action. make it clear and plain so others can resonate with it in their spirit and become enthusiastic in their soul. So what does a blueprint look like? A blueprint can be depicted as a diagram, an architect's plan, a schematic, a map, or a journey. It reveals the what of an ecclesia or embassy, its mountains or spheres of authority. It can be a way of linking the activities and inputs in ecclesia, ministry, or program to the outputs and what it is that God's calling that to be. If it has a plan of action or strategic element, it can be linked to where and the when, immediate, long-term outcomes and goals. It's like there's nothing wrong in having plans and thinking stuff through. You don't have to fly by the seat of your pants and win it. You can prepare. You can create it in heaven and you can prepare things on the earth. It's okay to be strategic. This blueprint will illustrate the links between the activities you deliver and the changes you anticipate creating for beneficiaries. And who are those beneficiaries? Could be your community, could be a particular people group. It could be those that are participating. Are they going to grow? Are they going to mature? You know, there are things we need to do. There will be activities to help us deliver through the strategy that God gives. It requires you to explore your assumptions and ensure that relationship and communication are built into the process. Don't assume people understand. Make sure relationally that good communication takes place in this journey. Remember, this is not a corporate business model, but a family business model. We're doing this together as family. Blueprint development is a process. Spiritually, the work in heaven should be done at the stage that there should be clarity about what you're going to do, but then you got to have the same clarity about how you're going to do it on earth. The earthly can include a practical, structured thinking process that allows groups to turn theories about what needs to be done into a pathway of how they're going to do it. You have to work this out practically. There's nothing wrong when having a strategic process. The blueprint can also be a document that illustrates the results of the overall blueprint process. The process you've been in is then put down in something that describes how everyone feel about it, and therefore everyone's clear about what it means. Making good decisions by understanding the links between the things that God wants us to do and how we do them to create the change that will bring transformation. It helps us create a clear strategy, acts as a check for what you do and don't do as a group of people, keeping you on mission and not distracted and out of focus. Gets people involved to work together in the process to shape and evaluate process and progress. We've got to be careful that people don't have personal agendas, that they're trying to outwork. This is what the blueprint can help us focus on to keep us free from personal agenda to focus on God's agenda. It provides clarity so everyone has a shared vision about what God is wanting us to achieve and how and for whom. Representing God's name. We're reflecting his values as ambassadors. It's important that we reflect them well in righteousness and justice. A good blueprint will illustrate and explain God's plan, be capable of communicating clearly God's vision to others. A visual representation of the plan and how you expect it to come about spiritually and earthly. The blueprint is likely to include a map, a series of maps, or of your aims, outcomes, activities, outputs that you believe will lead to long-term aim. It can be a powerful communication aid to guide the process. This may be accompanied by a list of assumptions and a narrative demonstrating to link between different elements and people's roles. So important that everything is clear and that there's a process and you're not keeping people in the dark, but people are participating in that process. And therefore, different people's roles, they'll find that they fit within different seasons and elements of that process differently. People can resonate with and find an expression of their destiny. Now, this diagram was the diagram that we came to when we were out working. What does our blueprint look like? Now, we've deconstructed this process to go back to the foundation of relationally establishing a bench of three, bench of seven, in a relational way rather than a structural way in which we establish. But I do believe this is the same. This is the blueprint that God's given us. But we have to find a way of outworking this in a very practical way. And now we're revisiting this from greater wisdom and insight. So the mountains on the outside are our spheres of authority. They give us the areas where we can administrate authority in. The yellow area is the area that we're looking to outwork in relationship on the ground, and it has different visionary statements, helping people find and fulfill their destiny, helping people to be free, helping people to come into an intimate relationship with God. It's founded on a God and the Venture 3 and the Venture 7 and the Venture 12 eventually. Don't establish things out of order. Get the foundation right. For us, this brings shalom, peace, harmony, blessing. And we have an outworking of this according to the order of Melchizedek, lion, ox, eagle, man. These are the principles that we're going to do things in accordance to. So this can be helpful. Now, for you, you may have a very different diagram or a very different thing, but it helps clarify to people in a way that can elicit people to come together in agreement. Now, a friend of mine had another blueprint. This is how they described it, and they had the four different areas and the different mountains. It is no right or wrong way of description or diagrammatically expression, or if you don't want to make a diagram, you can have a series of statements, but it needs to be clear. So how do different areas of authority work together? Benches of 3 and 7. It's really important that this functions. How do mountains, benches work together? Now, I will do a whole session on foundational government and how it works, but it's important that we see that we need to understand it. Do you assume everyone will have the same level of commitment and passion? Don't. Have you assumed who will take what roles and responsibilities? Do not assume, but know clearly. Just because people use the same words, do not assume everyone means the same thing. Clarify along the way. Ask questions. Create this culture of honor where it's okay to question, where you can okay say, what do you mean by that? What do you think this means? So everyone can clearly have a part to play in establishing and outworking this. Heavenly jurisdiction doesn't always match earthly jurisdiction. Be sure you've understood your boundaries. You cannot work in Africa if your jurisdiction is India. You cannot work in Canada if your jurisdiction is the US. You cannot work in France if your jurisdiction is the UK. You need to be clear where your boundaries are. Be aware of earthly structures that have authority already. There may be things that are already in place that you're going to have to work with. They may be earthly structures, but they may be spiritual ones as well. There may be other groups of people who are doing things in your area. Do not come into competition with others, but always look to work collaboratively if you possibly can, in harmony and in peace. A note about using legislation. Get legislation or use the right laws to create the conditions for your mandate to manifest. Don't make assumptions it's just going to happen. Create it. Speak it into being. Call it forth. There may be legislation that you need. We've done lots of things on legislation, producing it that you can draw on. Use laws to create order, administration, and peace. Don't try to usurp or force things. Be aware of the law of unintended consequences. There are consequences of the things we do. Prepare for them. Remember the importance of the mandates first. Mandate first. Blueprint follows mandate. If it isn't established in heaven, it won't be established on earth. You're aiming to create a shadow of a heavenly blueprint on the earth. Your mandates will determine your success. If you don't have one, get one or wait for the right season. Sometimes it may not be right yet, but there will come a time where God wants you to be part of a blueprint somewhere to do something that will outwork who you are and give you the opportunity of being a living stone. That's something that Jesus is building together as an ecclesia. The mandate gives access to the resources of heaven. It produces favor on the earth. If you accept it, you're responsible for it. This is joint responsibility that we have for each other in this. Developing the blueprint. Write it out. Make it clear. Follow the process. Outwork it. Don't go ahead. Walk alongside God in it. Heavenly blueprints will reveal an earthly plan or strategy to be turned into a workable plan. Nothing is in isolation. You will need people to be of one heart and one mind if this is going to work. Just because it makes sense to you, don't assume anything about if it makes sense to anyone else. Where do you start? Well, this is where we come back to the six honest serving men, Rudyard Kipling, the elephant's child. I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. It's so important to know these six things. These are the simplest way of any concept can be explained and will answer most of the questions that will commonly arise as you share the vision. Why, what, how, where, when, who? The importance of why. It's one of the life's greatest joys to wake up in the morning, every morning, with a clear sense of why that day matters, why every day matters. This is what it means to find your why. This is your start of an inspiring journey, your inspiring journey. Quote from Simon Sinek. Why? Everyone likes to tell you what, but you get commitment when you explain why. Define the problem so the reason you are doing it is clear. Understand your heavenly mandates, God's why. Now, again, make sure you see this as something which can be in varied variety of different things and outwork it this way. Why? The more you understand about the why, the better your design and delivery will be. Knowing why informs choices and decisions. We must be able to explain why your project is the solution. If you don't know why, then no one else will either. So it's important to know why. What? Identify the deliverables, the activities. What are you going to do? Be an ecclesia. Well, what does that mean? Well, what does it mean for you and that group of people? How are you going to gather? When are you going to gather? What are you going to do if you gather? Make sure that you do not default back to old activities and old wineskin models, but find what God is saying to you. Establish a new order, ecclesia, spiritual authority to do the thing. What mountain spheres are there? Earthly authority, what personal, organizational, and legal that you need. And you may need all of those things because this is practical as well as spiritual. Sometimes Christians run into things and just do things willy-nilly because they think they can. We need to do things righteously and correctly. So what? Understand the results you're expecting. What outcomes? How are you looking to grow? Are you looking for quality, quantity? What are you looking for? Outcomes tend to fall into categories such as community, health, education, behaviors, attitudes, relationships, employment, spiritual, financial. All of these will be part of an ecclesia, an embassy. The benefits of what you're doing, how are we going to be a benefit to bring restoration to ourselves and each other and creation? How? Organizational structure, an ecclesia. Is it going to be a trust, an NGO, a club, a society, a company, a charity, a charitable incorporated organization, a partnership? All these things are legal structures. Governance, bench of 3, 7, 12, members, trustees, directors, executive, non-executive. All these things need to be thought through and in agreement with God outworked. Staff, volunteers. Maintain the integrity of purpose through a constitution. Make sure that you're clear on how, your values, your resource. What resources do you have? Where are you going to do this? Geography, is it a place? Is it a town or a city or region? Is this for the world, the solar system, the galaxy, the universe, all creation? Well, some aspects may be for all creation, but it starts usually in a place with people in that place. What is your jurisdiction, your legal right that you have, either earthly or heavenly, over that place? Are there boundaries? When? Ask God for his timing, now or later. Duration, one-off or ongoing, short-term or ad infinitum. Never rush in. Some things need to be incubated. Allow for time to prepare and be prepared. It's a journey, not a destination. Who? Who do you have authority and are responsible for? Staff, volunteers, the ecclesia, the members, the community, the area, the specific group of people. Who do you want to help? Who do you have to work with? Other ecclesia, NGOs, organizations, civil government, local authorities. We have to relate to people, and we need to do it in a way that demonstrates the kingdom and relationship, and not in any way comes out negatively reflecting God. Developing your blueprint practical. Engage heaven first, receive clarity, clarify it, develop a mandate into a blueprint, engage with each other, seek God together, share and talk. Identify the why, what and how of God's plan. Heavenly blueprint, a canvas, use the diagram to answer the questions. Now, I'm going to give you two diagrams that you can use to perhaps ask yourself the questions as a group, as individually, to seek the answers that God will give you. A heavenly blueprint, vision, question, what will it look like? Your mandates, question, what are you mandated to do? Which kingdom problems will it solve? Why is it needed? Is it individual or part of a bigger mandate? How will it be delivered? Heavenly resources, whose help do you need? Wisdom, angels, men in white linen, cloud of witnesses, courts, activities, what will you actually be doing? Legislation, what laws do you need to deliver your mandate? Relationships, who are you called to be in relationship with? Governmental framework. Jurisdiction, who, what, and where? Communication, calling people in, sending people out, sending out a sound, releasing a light. Opposition, who would oppose you? How will you deal with it? And just think about those things. They will give you some insight practically so you can go forward. Heavenly blueprint, do you carry it in your heart? Vision, can you describe it in 100 words or less? Elevator pitch, could you express something in 30 seconds that could capture someone's attention because you're passionate about it, but it's clear and defined? Mandates, why, what, how? Activities and jurisdiction, think about it. Establishing spiritual and legal governance, use your blueprint to set the governance of your organization. Set the ethos, divine your values. How will decisions be made and by who? Ensure no legal and spiritual conflict in the things that you set up. Set out a constitution or governance arrangements. Agree who has authority and responsibility to avoid mutiny or hostile takeovers. These things happen. You know, I know people and friends of mine who have been kicked out of their own charities, kicked out of their own ministries that they established by others who took over because the right constitution or government's arrangements weren't in place to safeguard the blueprint maintaining its identity as God has given it. Understand and mitigate the risks and liabilities inherent in any project that you're going into. Understand the law, safeguarding policies, procedures, financial management, compliance, human resource, lack of skills or experience. All these things are practical things you need to look at when you are establishing something. Don't just think that you can have a group of people and you can just do this. You're going to be establishing an embassy of heaven. You're going to need all those things in place. Understand the environment you're operating in, opposition spiritually and earthly. Is there history? Is there an atmosphere that's bringing influence negatively? Do not underestimate how much work it will take and how much time it will take. You know, if you estimate it, double it, triple it. It will always take longer if it's going to be relationally delivered. Benches, mountains, and members of the spiritual and legal entity, how do they work together? Trustees, directors, staff, employees, how are they going to work if you have them? How will it work in practice? What powers do you need? Are you going to accept donations? Therefore, you need an entity that can do that. A company is not a good vehicle for accepting donations. A charity is one. What powers do you need? To employ staff or directors, own tangible assets or land, borrow money, mortgage, lease, trade, buy, sell, contract, provide a service, grant, give away, hold a bank account. There are common structures in the UK, club or society, a trust, charitable incorporated organisation, charitable company limited by guarantee, limited company. Non-for-profit structures in the US, not-profit corporation, trust, not a separate legal identity, unincorporated associations, limited liability companies. Now, if you're going to form a club or society, it will work for a small group with a small project. Simple to set up, needs a constitution and a committee. Personal liability, no ability to contract, bank account held in personal names, contracts done by committee members. Not an ideal structure for an ecclesia, I would suggest. A trust, formal version of a club or society. Members agree to act as a group, can be a charity, no ability to contract, cannot borrow. Trustees have personal liability. Charitable incorporated organisation, not a company, incorporated through Charity Commission in the UK, simplified government's charity number issued on setup, limited liability for trustees, asset lock, which means you can't do things with the assets outside of the purpose you've set up the company, can contract and borrow, cannot become a company, suitable for small to medium-sized organisations. Charitable company, limited liability, registered at Companies House and issued a charity number through the Charity Commission. A legal entity can borrow, contract and own assets. It's well understood, no asset lock, can cease to be a charity and still exist. So choose the right one for you. In your country, it may well be very different, but research, get advice, get legal advice. It's not wrong to ask for help when you need it. Don't be afraid. A limited company by guarantee, private limited company, no shares, limited by a member's guarantee. You can employ people, you can trade, you can contract, borrow, own assets, distribute, reinvest profits, cannot accept donations. Be careful about that. What you're setting up, make sure you have the right legal thing. You want to do it righteously, or you can run into problems later on. Get it right at the beginning. Be wise, seek advice, lay good foundations. Humility is essential. Don't be too proud to ask for help. Collaborate. You may go fast alone, but you'll go farther together. Except you must render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, to be righteous. Do not try and get around the law because you think as Christians you can do what you like. Make sure you operate righteously. So what will see you through this process? Knowing your mandate and authority. Clear vision and mission, a blueprint. Clear governance, roles and responsibilities defined. Collaborative attitude, draw people to you and share. Passion in heart, determination in the face of obstacles. Good organisation, management and administration. Christian passion, professional excellence, doing everything to the highest standard. So I want to encourage you, we're not going to do activation as such, but I want to encourage you to think about these questions. If you have a blueprint, if you're thinking about a blueprint, ask yourself, do I understand these questions? Could I answer these things? If you're a group of people seeking God for a blueprint, ask yourself these questions. Engage God together. A simplified version of this is why, what, and how. Why are you doing what you're doing? Or what you feel called to do? What are you going to do? What is it? And how are you going to do it? And use, you can have a big piece of paper. You can have a whiteboard, a flip chart, and with a group of people, brainstorm, blue sky. Ask God these questions. Ask yourself these questions and clarify and make sure that if you're going to establish something on earth as it is in heaven, that you have the right things in place, that you know what you're doing, and you're dependent on following and walking with God in the process. And we'll find that we will be able to establish embassies of heaven on earth. We will have heaven manifesting on earth. And if things begin to fall apart from the DIY tree, we will have the tree of life established on earth, flowing into the earth to bring about God's kingdom, filling the earth, restoring all things back to God's original intention and purpose, because we're doing things as a reflection of heaven in the earth with a heavenly blueprint, with a mandate that God authorizes us, and you, as sons of God, will be empowered to succeed and prosper if we're bold and courageous, not fearful. Let's step out. Let's be willing to seek God proactively. And I'd encourage you to spend some time asking. Ask about your own life. Why, what, how, when, where, who? Ask these questions. And I believe that we will be able to see things begin to be changed and transformed. So I encourage you to embrace that, look at those things, and see what God is doing in a very practical way.